Well, you can see that I'm struggling with the changes that we're making too. So join the crowd. We're looking forward to what God's going to do as we begin to adjust even more. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, you would turn with me to Matthew, the first chapter, starting in verse 18. I will tell you, many of you would like be like me. You can use your device, your phone, your pad, whatever. Look at it and follow with me in Scripture, and it can be helpful for you to begin to learn and understand more and more about what the Bible says and what I'm trying to convey in our worship service today. But we're looking at Matthew 1, 18 through 25. I'm looking at the characters of Christmas. We want to understand who they are and how they impacted Christmas celebration back then with the birth of the Lord Jesus, and how they have a way of describing for us or helping us understand what Christmas ought to be in our world in our time. Yeah, there's 2,000 years different, but you have to understand that Christmas is still Christmas. God sending his son, born of a baby, and in that baby there was the God himself there. He became a man. He gave up everything and came to earth to live with us and be God among us. So I asked the question, are you ready for Christmas? I saw the bah humbugs from some of you there, you know. I understand what's going on, but I do appreciate the affirmation that we are ready and we're ready to celebrate it. But, you know, I remind you that as we begin the Christmas story, now the book of the New Testament are not necessarily written in the order that we find them canonized in the New Testament now. So the Gospels were written later on. Many of Paul's epistles were written before the Synoptic Gospels. But they went back and they gave us the Gospels. And you need to remember that between the time of the last book of the Old Testament and the first ones that were written in the New Testament was 400 years. More than 400 years, God was silent. They didn't hear from God. Has God ever been silent in your life? There have been times God's silent in my life. And as I look for him and as I beg for him, I realize the reason that he was silent is because things Mickey did, said, or thought. And I had to get those straightened out before I could come back to God and be heard before him. If you look at the Old Testament, you find the way that you came before God was either laying flat out before him like we saw in Moses this morning, or you come with high and lifted up hands. You just don't do that when the cops show up and let them know you don't have anything in your hand. You come before God and you're saying to him, I come with nothing. I come to worship you. So this is the idea that we're coming before God. He has been quiet, but now he's begun to speak. And it's really interesting the characters he spoke to. He wasn't at the temple. He wasn't talking to the high priest. He was not talking to the priests and Levites. He was not talking to the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Or he was not talking to the scribes or the Herodians. He was talking to everyday kind of people. You and I would say our kind of people, wouldn't we? But God speaks today. Do you have the Christmas spirit is another question. You know, I've seen decorations for Christmas since before Halloween in the stores that we walk in, you know. And it's interesting that as you go into that, it seems like our life is spinning out of control. It's getting faster and faster and faster. Before Halloween, we're already talking about Christmas. Well, it's those guys that want money, right? They want to put money in their pockets, so they're doing things to entice us to come on. Right now, our activity list is beginning to get long. What's coming, what we're going to be doing, what we're involved in, how we're going to be celebrating, those kind of ideas. The lights, the decorations are going up. We have a beautiful decorations today, the trees, the Advent candles. Had a party yesterday morning with one of our Sunday school classes, and it was such a joy to see the decoration. Of course, the food was wonderful. I had a good time with that too, but the decorations, it helped put us into the spirit, the thinking about what's going on. But today, many things are in short supply. You know, we're going toward this happy holidays, the holiday tree. and the holiday parties. Some folks say that's because there are so many religious groups in the United States today that we're not supposed to say Merry Christmas or the Christmas tree or a Christmas party because we're going to offend other people. But the songs have become secular songs. Coming over this morning from Cumming, Gene and I was listening to one of our favorite Christian radio stations, and not a Christmas carol was on it. It was all the secular music being played on our Christian radio stations. And there are those that are saying songs like, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas. And I tell them, not me, I live in Atlanta. We're not going to have a white Christmas, you know. I know we do sometimes, but it's not a regular thing that we face here. But you know, as we think about all those things that are going on, it's years of experience for me. Often I would leave a disaster and come home a day or two before Christmas, celebrate with the family, and then the day after or within a day or two of Christmas, I'd leave to go back to those communities to continue to serve and minister there. Many times I left with a broken heart and I wept with guilt because I felt like I was abandoning them in their time of need. What was going on? What was happening? But I began to realize that as we ministered, it showed them Christ's love differently than I would have showed them had I been there during Christmas. You see, getting ready for Christmas is often the thought of deeds, errands, tasks, living by the calendar. But does our attitude portray the Christmas story and the Christmas spirit? I believe we need to have an openness of the comings and goings of God in our lives. A story that we focus on over the next few weeks, there are the characters that are in the Christmas story that served a purpose, that demonstrated for us God and His love and His grace. He came to earth as a baby. He lived with us. He was not far removed. He is not far removed today, way up there in heaven and out of our lives and forgot about us. Joseph is often a neglected character of the Christmas story. He's kind of overlooked, you know. He didn't do a lot. He didn't serve a lot. He wasn't involved a lot. Well, Joseph's story is told about him also. It's not told by him. It's another thing we look and we find in the scripture. You see, Joseph's stories has the potential to leading us to get ready for Christmas, I believe. You see, Joseph was open to God. And after a while, he was ready for Christmas. Well, you may ask, Mickey, how can you be so sure Joseph was ready for Christmas? I'm glad you asked that because I got 3 points I want to say about that. Are you ready for Christmas? Matthew 1, verse 18. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before them came together that she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him, and he married her, but did not have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to the son, and he named him Jesus. Father, let us see Jesus and his life as a baby as Joseph provided the security, the protection, the love that you asked of him to bring Christmas into our world. Guide us and direct us now, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You see, to be ready for Christmas, I believe we have to trust God. We must have a confidence that God's knowing what he was doing. Joseph was a man of faith. It's not always easy to have faith. There are times in life when it is difficult and it is hard to have faith, when things are tough, when problems exist, when conflict comes around. You see, Joseph was in the final stages of preparation for his marriage to Mary. He loved her. He was anticipating the wedding. The weddings were a big deal to the Israelites. And the Galilean weddings was even different than the rest of the Israel's weddings. And it was very special. And so they had been engaged, and it usually was a year or so. The woman and her family went home, and she prepared for the wedding. The groom and his family went home, and he began to prepare for the wedding. And one of the things they did is he built another room on his dad's home. And after things were ready, the dad would say, "It's time for the wedding. Go get the wife and bring her." The mother-in-law of the groom was not in charge of the wedding. The Galilean father of the groom was in charge of the wedding. And so this was going on. Everything was ready, and it was nearing that time that Joseph was going to be. He was espoused. He was betrothed. He was engaged to Mary. And once you became engaged through an official ceremony that was seen in public, there was no getting out of it except a divorce. There had to be a writ of divorce if you're going to stop an engagement. And that was just like a real divorce or a legal divorce after the marriage. There had to be a document signed. It had to be done before witnesses. And it had to be understood that there was a separation here. Well, there's this bombshell that is dropped on Joseph as he's preparing for the wedding. Mary's pregnant. Can you imagine? Now, how is he going to get out of the wedding? It was going to require a divorce. A legal document would have to be presented. Joseph's heart must have been broken. He did not understand. She must have been unfaithful. Now the law said the unfaithful wife must be stoned to death. So all this is playing in Joseph's mind because they were engaged. He was considering what he's going to do, and God spoke to him, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what she carries is of God, and this baby will be a boy that will save his people." Now, can you imagine the conversation between Joseph and God when he woke up? Say, "What? Are you kidding me? How can this be? Are you sure?" Those kind of questions begin to unfold. Matthew says Joseph got up and did what God told him to do. He was a just man. He obeyed God. You see, we must be people of faith as we celebrate Christmas. Or should I say, are we people of faith? Being a person of faith is hard sometimes. How do you keep the faith? It's impossible to be in faith without peace with God. That's the problem with a lot of people. We're not at peace with God. We may have the relationship, but we don't have fellowship. We talk about our prodigal daughter. We have a relationship, but we don't have fellowship because there's not peace. There's not that relationship that had to be there. Our world is full of things that we do not want in our lives. Disaster, hunger, dreaded diseases, cancer, heart problems, diabetes, arthritis, coronavirus. There's drug addiction, alcohol, murder, rape, pornography, just pure meanness in our world today. Where is God when people fall prey to those kind of things in our world? And that's the question a lot of people ask. Where is God? Why did he let this happen? Instead of saying, "God, what are you doing through this that I can bring glory to you?" So it's a struggle that we go through. There are those that laugh at us today because we believe in God that is in our world. that he talks to us, that he leads us, that he empowers us, that we can talk of a God of love that is good and he brings peace, that he cannot or does not protect his children. They're being persecuted and killed all over the world. How can you praise him with all the suffering that is going on in our world? You may even ask, does God know what he's doing? Has he forgot about us? Has he abandoned us? With all the problems of our world and the lives in our family, does God know what he's doing? And then Christmas comes again. And what does God do? The baby comes. And he shows us God. He demonstrates God. He loves and lives and obeys the Father. He calls the world into a relationship with himself and with his Father. And he commands us to love and obey and do all that we're taught. He shows us and he teaches us how to have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control as a result of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our life. Paul tells us in Galatians 5, 20 and 21, what it does, it says we can trust God. Joseph trusted God. To be ready for Christmas, we must also care for others. October the 27th, 2018, a lone gunman walked into the Pittsburgh Tree of Life Synagogue. And before he was wounded and captured by a police officer, he had killed 11 people and injured 6 others. 4 of them were police officers. While he was shooting at everybody present within that synagogue, he hollered, "All Jews must die." Sounds like things going on in our world today, doesn't it? The shooter, as a result of being injured by a police officer, were taken to Allegheny Hospital's emergency room. And as they were rolling me into that emergency room, he was still shouting, "All Jews must die." The first doctors and nurses to work on him were Jewish doctors and nurses. Some of them were members of the Tree of Life Synagogue. The president of the hospital and the staff members who were members of the Tree of Life said at the interview later on with the news media, "We are here to take care of 6 people. We're not to judge people who come here. We are to take care of people who need our help." I cried as I listened to that story on the news media as it unfolded, thinking about the care and support and the work toward their service to their community. In spite of the evilness that was being portrayed upon them, their family members, and their synagogue. People, we have to understand that we have to help people today. Joseph's part of the Christmas story was to take care of Mary. You understand how important that is. Matthew said, "So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly." You see, as a righteous man, that was the only thing he could do, as she ended up pregnant before they were married. And Joseph was still sensitive to Mary's needs in her life. He wanted to give Mary security, protection, and love. He was thinking how he could provide a place for Mary and her baby. Mary would need a place where the baby and someone to help her, someone to provide for her. Because Joseph cared, Christmas happened. Christmas is our time to reach out, too. It looks like Pinecrest gets that. Lottie Moon Christmas offering, sharing in local missions through the Chattahoochee Baptist Association, the Good Samaritan Ministry, reaching out with cards and gifts and parties, wishing people a Merry Christmas already. In reality, this kind of caring should be occurring all year long. You see, Christmas tells us that God cares. He came in the form of a baby. He demonstrated care and love and compassion with ministry. After 33 years, Jesus died on a Roman cross and was buried in a borrowed tomb. He arose 3 days later and was seen 11 times over 40 days by more than 500 people, It has been authenticated. He was resurrected. Christmas tells us to care for others, that we ought to care for others. There are so many needs in the communities that we live in. In the United States right now, more than 13% of the homes in America are food insecure coming out of the pandemic. And since then, prices have gone up, inflation's gone up, everything's gone up. And those people that don't have enough are even more insecure. We're told that 72% of the children in poor households read poorly and are at the lowest level in reading in our school systems. 55% of the residents of Appalachia are likely to die of drug overdose. 1 in 6 runaways are victims of sex trafficking. 70-80% of the children who are sex trafficked in the United States were in the foster care system at one time. More than 41,000 children are in foster care in the United States. 14,400 of them are in Georgia. Christmas is a time that reach out to others, and they're all around us that need care and hope. Christmas story tells us that we care for others. Most alive and the happiest, most loving people I know are people who care about others. You see it in their lives. You see it in the way they talk and what they do. We're people who minister. They share time and their resources with others. There is joy, and when they care and share with others, you can experience joy because you are being like Jesus, like our Savior, like our Lord. Joseph cared, and God used him to provide for Mary and Jesus, God's one and only Son. And if you care, God will use you to touch other lives as well. But to be ready for Christmas, you must give God all that we are, everything that we are. I wonder, did Joseph know how dangerous it was going to be Jesus' earthly father? Think about that. Did he take that into account, that he was going to be God's son's father provider? Oh, Joseph had to take his young bride and baby to Egypt shortly after Jesus was born to escape the persecution and death that was rained down on Bethlehem and the surrounding community. God revealed to him, boy, you got to go. Take them and go to Egypt. You see, Herod was paranoid. The king at that time was paranoid, and he was cruel. He pronounced, because the king of the Jews had been born as a baby in Bethlehem, every boy under 2 years old in that region had to be killed. And he sent his soldiers in and killed every one of them. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus was already gone. It seems to me whatever God told him he needed to do, Joseph was willing to do it. Have you experienced the cost of being a believer, of being a follower of Jesus? There are more and more people who do not like Jesus' followers. If you say you're a believer, I don't use the word Christian anymore because so many people say they're Christians and they don't live like that. They don't live like Christ. I say believer, those that live like Christ, those that are followers of Christ. If you live like Christ, people are going to persecute you just like him. He promised us. Cultures' values stand against our values. We're always at war with culture. And when you stand for Christ, you will lose popularity. You will be shunned. And you will be persecuted. In many parts of the world today, believers are losing their freedom and their lives and becoming under very intense times of persecution because they are followers of Christ. If you're willing to give God everything, God requires that you will do his will. But in order to do his will, you have to give him everything. You see, Christmas is not very meaningful for many people today because they're not doing things that God wants them to do. They're not living for Him. They're not demonstrating Him. They're not serving Him. Why? Why? Because they're not willing to say to God, whatever you want, I'll do. We love to work, look at and think about Isaiah in the 6th chapter. The king is dead and he's laying out on the ground in front of the temple and God shows up. And he worships God. He can see into heaven's portal at the very throne of grace. His sin is judged and purged. And there he is called to serve God. And he said, here am I, send me. Folks, if we did that, we would make a difference in our world. We'd make a difference in our community. We'd make a difference in our families. We'd make a difference in so many ways if we would just say, wherever you lead, I'll go. Whatever you ask me to do, I'll do. You see, to be ready for Christmas, we must give God whatever He wants from us. Now, I know people said, man, Mickey, that's tough. That's harsh. To say I have to give up everything. But that's the only way that you're going to spend eternity with Him. That's the only way you're going to be adopted into His family and made a joint heir with Jesus Christ. To be able to share at the throne of grace. I read a story not long ago of a little boy, 9-year-old boy, who was hearing the Christmas story for the first time. The idea being, are you ready for Christmas again? When he heard there was no room in Bethlehem, the little boy interrupted the teacher. Wait, Joseph can have my room. I'll move out. I'll sleep on the couch. He can have my room. You see, like the little boy, we must give up our room, our comfort, our convenience, our things, even our plans for Jesus. Yeah, that means we have to pick up the phone and call someone. Maybe we need to stop by the store and buy some bread and milk and take it to someone. Maybe we need to cook a dish and take it to someone. Maybe we need to go by and say, what can I do to help you? Whatever it may be, can we do that? Will you do that? See, as we trust Him and we care for others, we will come to the place that we're willing to give ourselves to Jesus and His work. Then He can come in a new and a special way in our lives. I pray that we're all ready for the Lord's Christmas to come into our lives this year. If not, maybe you need to understand right now you're on holy ground. You're standing before God. And He's calling from you for a commitment, a decision, a direction. Are you ready for Christmas? For God to be with us? What's He asking you to do today? Maybe He's calling you into a personal relationship with Him. Do you know God? Have you said to Him and understood who He was? You know the Roman road, or you should. I want you to learn it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have done bad things. And those bad things, those sins separate us from God. We can't have a relationship or fellowship with Him if we don't get rid of our sin. We're promised also that God demonstrated His love while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He didn't wait for Mickey to straighten himself up. To get clean, to do what he ought to do, start attending church. No, Jesus died 2,000 years ago that Mickey could have eternal life today. And as a 10-year-old, when I walked the aisle of Adams Run Baptist Church and was baptized in its baptistry, it made me not a believer. It made me a member that was a part of believers, the church, that I could serve Him. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, my Lord. I earned wages where I worked. They didn't give me a gift. even if they gave me a Christmas bonus or something like that, the reality is the amount of work they got out of me was never paid for adequately, in my humble but accurate opinion. I always did more than I was demanded to do. If I get what I earn because of sin, there's only one thing, and that's hell. That's separation from God. But God's offering me a gift, something I didn't earn, I don't deserve, I can't merit, and that is eternal life. And then he said, if you believe in your, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can you imagine that? The God of creation that loves all, that will forgive me of my sins, that all I have to do is say Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, I can believe that pew will hold me if I sat down in it. But I don't trust it until I sit down in it. That's the same way with Jesus. I can believe all day long, but until I trust my life to him, I can't know the fullness of the salvation that he offers to me. A person has to admit you're a sinner, believe in Christ, confess him as Lord, and then dedicate yourself to grow as a disciple. Become more like Jesus. Now my question is, God talking to you today? Is he calling you? Joseph was in a dream. The Spirit came, and the first thing Joseph did when he got up was go do exactly what God told him. If God's talking to you today, that's what you need to do, is do exactly what he's told you to do. Is he calling you to salvation through the process of admit, believe, confess, dedicate yourself? Is he calling you to be into a personal relationship with him? Church membership, maybe you need to renew yourself today and said, you know, Mickey, I haven't been the way I ought to be. But today I want to renew myself to the commitment I made so many years ago and be what God wants me to be this Christmas. Is he calling you to church membership? Being a part of Pinecrest Baptist Church in the manner that she receives members so that we can lock arms together and reach this community with the gospel. You can do that through making a decision to join our church through a confession of faith and baptism. Or you can do it through transferring a letter from another church that is of like faith. Or maybe that church doesn't exist anymore, but you can have a statement that you did believe you were baptized in a member of a church that was of like faith. In whatever way, well, I'm going to ask you again, are you ready for Christmas? One of these decisions may be what you need to do today so you can be ready for Christmas this year and celebrate new and differently than ever before. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful today that as we come into your presence, we know Jesus has spoken to our hearts. The Holy Spirit is here drawing us unto your love and your grace and your mercy through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Allow us to make the decisions today that will be pleasing unto you, that not only will make us ready for Christmas, but give us the ability to share Jesus with others this week. Hear our prayer, for we lift them in Jesus' name. Amen.